Yes, I do.
I want to talk about it.
It's so good.
Yes.
Let me
get I wanted to do it earlier because before I take all my pills.
Yeah. I feel you on that, man. I hate being sick, dude.
Yeah, it's the worst, man.
It just like just start today or start yesterday?
A little last night, but it really hit me when I got up this morning. Just that headache, drainage, sore throat.
Yeah, that sucks, man. Sorry to hear about that. Well, let's get the show started so that way you can go start healing up. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Anime Versal Reviews podcast here on the Genreverse YouTube channel and Genreverse Podcast Network, available wherever you get podcasts from. Hit that red subscribe button, follow us on your favorite app, and of course leave some comments, thumbs up, down, whichever one you're feeling. I'm Kyle, that's Christine, and that's Sick Brian. Yeah, we're here to do our Chainsaw Man episode 11 reaction, but before that, guys, you should save the date for Thursday, December 22nd. We're going to go live for you guys. We did one live review for Classroom of the Elite Season 2 a while ago, but we wanted to do more of like a Q&A, a digital meet and greet, sort of. I hear your phone going off, by the way.
Mine?
Yeah.
Oh, yep. It's in the bedroom.
It's 18:20. So yeah, guys, check that out. We'll be doing, just hanging out, chatting. It's a chance for you to get to ask questions about our awful taste in anime, movies, games, music, whatever. Yeah, it'll be fun. Christine, you're going to have to go take care of that.
Fine.
It's going to keep going off.
I don't hear it though.
Oh, I can hear it. Kitty kitty. Why do you have a 6:20 alarm anyways?
To feed him.
Oh. Well, we already went out. You guys don't have to worry. The boy Lucas has been fed. We went out for dinner. Yeah, I think that covers all the housekeeping stuff for what's going on. Brian, man, a lot to take from this episode, I think, man. What'd you think of it?
I loved it yet again. Here we are every week.
Yes.
It's just so good. And you know, we always talk about the balance of the slow, the action. I was already in love with the episode before the ending sequence, you know. Yeah. It's just so good. Mm-hmm.
Christine and I, of course, did our reaction today. You guys can check that out. There's probably a card or something in this video for it. If not, at the end, I usually pick, you know, things that are most related to this, and it should pick the reaction, but we'll see. Yes, Kitty, I see you. So we really enjoyed it, and there was quite a few little things in there, and one of the big ones is like, how far is Makima really willing to go? But not only that, but why is she willing to go as far as she has, and as far as it seems like she's willing to go, are a couple things that came up in my mind for us to dig into a little bit. Christine, any spoiler-free thoughts before we grade it?
Oh, no, everything's spoiler stuff, so.
Okay, so what would you grade it then, Brian?
I think an A+.
Okay. I agree.
Yeah.
Why an A+? Because I actually had a hard time giving it an A+.
It was probably like I said, I was already really into the episode, and I was just like, yeah, this is great. And then that final sequence, to me that pushed it over a little bit. I don't know, man. It's a show it goes by too quickly, and yet every scene is so full, and you get absorbed in it. I don't know how to describe it. Like I said, I love
time flies when you're having fun. Yes.
Yeah, it did do that. I was sitting there looking at the clock, like, oh my god, it's going to end soon.
That's why you don't look at the clock.
Because I can see. Well, I'm starting to become paranoid about our recording status, and I want to make sure that it's good and it's right here on my right, your left computer screen. And so I can see, you know, how long we've been recording, make sure it's still going. And I know that, you know, anime episodes 21 to 23 minutes. So when it's like 19 minutes into our recording, I'm like, damn, no.
Another saying, ignorance is bliss. So I am ignorant of the time and I get to just enjoy it and then get sad when it stops.
I don't know why I felt like, so everything in this is great. It's all good, but it didn't for me have that extra. But I will say this. So I gave it an A, but I will say this. This does feel more of like a potential like two-parter ending, and that this might not necessarily that this might play more into the next episode than past episodes. You know what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
And so if that's the case, you know, then yeah, sure, maybe you could up this as an A+ for me. But it was one of those that executed everything the way it was supposed to, but it didn't have that one extra thing for the plus. And usually that's how I do the grades. Like if I start balking at an A+, it's probably not, but the reasoning is kind of just like, it's still a little in the air. I don't know why I'm trying to defend an A, because if anyone's upset at it getting an A, I'm sorry. But yeah, I loved it. I did. I love this series. It's going to suck next week.
I'm going to feel so empty inside.
It will. Before we get into the spoilers, though, guys, Brian, I don't know if you know this, but Spy Family Season 2 announced for next year and a freaking movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, dude. Did you see that Dr. Stone?
I did.
Teaser or trailer? Oh my god, dude! They're going for the capsule. Holy crap! Like, what are they gonna find? And I need that translated, because right now there's not even a subtitled trailer that I've seen. It's just Japanese audio. So I'm super stoked. For those of you that might not know this, AVR exists because of Dr. Stone. Yeah, so we got that Suzume coming out in April, Gridman Universe next year. Frickin' Mushoku Tensei, Kaguya-sama, Love is War getting a movie. There's a lot coming out next year. I'm super stoked about that. So let's get into the spoiler discussions. Christine, you had some things you wanted to mention. Do you want to go first?
No, just as we go along talking about little pieces. Okay. So we'll do it that way.
All right, then, Brian, what you pick. Where do you want to start at in this spoiler discussion? What really caught your eye?
I mean, we can start at the beginning and work through. I mean,
okay.
Sure. Yeah, there, I mean, every sequence was amazing, from the Yakuza stuff to the, like I said, the ending, but in the introduction of the new team. But go into the beginning and the future devil and the deal that's brokered.
The future rules.
Yeah. like all of that was just great. And the fact that the price seems so small because of the payoff that the devil is excited about, which we know is death, and how epic apparently it's going to be. All that was great.
I want to read a comment since we started there.
Okay.
That someone posted on our, hold on, excuse me. Sorry, guys. That dinner we were talking about, on our reaction video, mentioning from, Fernando Lemus, I'm guessing that's Lemus, but, just wanted to point out that there's a bit of a translation error. Crunchyroll, when the future devil talks about Aki's death, it doesn't actually say your death will fucking rule, excuse the F-bomb, but you'll die in the worst way possible. Still, same thing. In my opinion, having a awful, awful death could indeed effing rule.
Yeah, epic. And yeah. It's like, what exactly happens?
So, exactly. I love that he just wants a front row seat to it.
Get your snacks. Get the popcorn.
That's all
it was. I don't need anything. I just want to watch.
What a price. And it kind of makes you, and of course, Aki didn't give a damn. He's just like, yeah, man, whatever. Just get in the eyeball. Let's go. I got I got things to do.
Don't want to know when, where, or what exactly happens. Let's just go.
Let's go. So I love that aspect of it. What'd you think of it being the freaking dancing guy that we've been seeing in the intro this whole time? I was thrown for a loop for a second.
Yeah, because you don't, I mean, watching the intro, you don't know, you know, what that is about, but it puts a smile on my face every time. So then now seeing it's like, oh my God, it's that guy.
There was a lot of the intro stuff introduced in this episode. Mm-hmm. Characters, yes, and stuff, you know.
Which just like blew the whole world wide, even wider open, and makes you super excited for the next season. I do not know, and I highly doubt this will get released season two next year, but who knows? They might have been working on it for a while now. One of the things you guys will realize about us here is that as plugged in as I am, and most of us are for most Western media, we purposefully remain a lot ignorant on anime things just to not get bogged down in all the personal stuff that you get from being a die-hard Star Wars fan or Marvel fan, to where an actor, a director, or a writer's name is enough to just push the feels one way or another. So we don't seek out as much information on the anime, so that way it doesn't feel like work, a burden. It doesn't like wear on us. So thank you to all those that do feed us some information on release dates and things like that. But Future Devil liked it. I don't want to say I can't wait to see Aki die, but I can't wait to see hopefully him get out of death. I don't know, man. I think they could kill him. Not necessarily next episode, but I think they could kill him.
It's probably going to be a while, but I mean,
I hope so. He's got a big arc.
Yeah.
But the idea of them actually, I mean, do you really think anyone is relatively safe outside of, say, Makima and Denji heading into the finale of this series? I don't know. What do you think, Brian?
I'm starting to think Aki is the main character. Mm. So I think he might be safe for that reason. But I mean, I don't know the structure of the story. If
going forward.
Yeah, so, you know, who knows? But his arc seems more important than Denji's at this point.
That's why I said not like next episode or anything, like Christine said, not for a while. I mean, it is called Chainsaw Man, so I could see where each arc or two gets a, you know, second lead character for that arc. So you might have these two seasons with Aki or something like that. And then what I'm basically saying is I don't think anyone is completely safe, because there's always the chance to go on to another arc. You know what I'm, does that make sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Afterwards you get Sensei. Another moment was Sensei and Power and Denji. Sensei's little meeting with Makima, which leads into something way cool. Excuse me. I like him calling her out, like, just like, you're a freaking liar. You're BSing this whole, you just want to kill devils to save people. You might want to do that, but it's not to save the people. That's just a byproduct of you trying to get to your big goal. And
yeah, it's him saying, you don't need to bullshit me. I know. I get it. You can't fool me.
What do you think of that conversation, Brian?
Yeah, he's proven that he has his finger on the pulse of things. He understands when people are BSing him, even if, you know, it's the top of the hierarchy of their organization. And he doesn't trust anybody, which I like. Mm-hmm. You know, he's devils, the people he works for, you know, he's just very suspicious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does trust the humans more than devils, though. Of course, he seems to, like, he tells her, you know, you're full of it, but as long as you're killing devils, we're good to go, basically. Yeah. Any comments there in that area, Christine?
No, just, you know, because of his age and the job that he does, you know, he's seen it all, and I'm excited to see more. But yet, like, it was obvious, like, for him to be able to read, because he's a lot older, and you know, he's learned how to read people, so.
I like how he even admits, he's like, you know, it sucks, these dogs, you know, he's trying to dehumanize them, which I can, I always hate talking about some of this stuff, but I can relate to the idea of trying to dehumanize certain aspects of life in combat. For better or worse, there's situations you're going to be faced with, and kind of taking the human aspect out of it, especially out of your enemies, is one of those things that makes it easier to do or easier to cope or whatever, not making it right or anything like that, just stating facts. And him doing the same thing with his you know, students, so to speak, because he knows they're in a meat grinder. If he gets attached, then it's gonna hurt, affect him. And he's like, you know, the more this happens, the more I drink. And I try to keep these ones at arm's length, and I don't think it's working. You know, that's a tough thing to. It's a tough thing to train people to go through a like I said, a meat grinder.
Mm-hmm.
So I really appreciate moments like that. Makima, however, is like the best meat grinder there is. Oh my God, is she psychotic or what? I loved this meeting with the Yakuza, man. I thought this was great tension, and I like how she almost gives them the chance to make a smart decision without, you know, completely ruining their day. But then we get a what's in the box moment.
Yeah. You stole my joke.
With a bag full of eyeballs.
Yeah. So I liked, like, even though, like, she's already done that,
mm-hmm.
It's like she can tell, like, I'll give you a chance, I guess, but I already know what you're going to do. So
yeah, well,
I did what I did.
She had said that we can put these back. We have somebody at the division, which I'm guessing is a
but
devil.
But still, like, to see something like that and expose that. And
yeah.
you've traumatized
the
people you did that to. So, yeah.
I agree. What did you think about that whole situation, Brian? That whole sit down with the Yakuza?
That was the moment, because I said it wasn't till the end that pushed it over for me. But that was the sequence where I was already edging to the A+. Mm-hmm. It's just the dialogue. I'm a sucker for just two people in a room. I mean, there were more than two, but two people having a dialogue. And you don't need any crazy, you know, yes, we had the bag moment, but the tension with the music, the tone mm-hmm. of both their voices. I even love him explaining the politics of organized crime and its purpose, and a lot of the things he was saying applies in reality.
Yes, absolutely
loved all of that. And then of course her, you know, well, I need the names. It was very Godfather.
Yeah.
And you know, I think of that, I think of oh God, there's of course Sopranos, and I can't remember if it was Goodfellas or one of the other ones. It's been a long time since I've watched those old style gangster films, but that conversation of we're keeping the worst guys out is a theme that reoccurs, especially in that transition from more old time mobsters as you get into the 70s, 80s and beyond, with more, for lack of a better phrase, street gangs.
Mm-hmm.
And that idea that, you know, one evil is you know, the lesser of two evils, so to speak, which Makima came up with, or didn't come up with, but says something very, very interesting, talking about necessary evil. And she's like, unless that's in the hands of the state, then it's not necessary. That as an American, of course, me and my relationship with the state, not to mention guns, that hit, man. I was just sitting there like, whoa, wait a second. Mm-hmm. I don't personally find the state nor the things that they're doing to be a necessary evil, so to speak. It's if anything, it's a, I mean, I'm reminded of like the George Washington quote about government being both a fierce master and a dangerous servant, if I'm not mistaken on it. It's like fire, basically, is how he referred to it. You know, fire's this amazing tool that can be used to do a lot of good, but, you know, do the wrong thing with it and it'll burn the whole house down.
Yeah.
So it was real interesting to hear that conversation. I love how the Yakuza guy, like you said, Brian, like just the politics of it. Here's the layout. Look, I'm going to give you this girl. I'll give you all these guys too. But I'm not going to give you everything. Come on. Now I got a business to run. And it was a great scene. Really dug it. The operation itself, going in on this raid to take out the terrorists. A lot of fun. We get some zombies. I'm always down for some zombies. But getting to meet the rest of the new Special Division 4, Shark Boy and Lava Girl. No, I'm joking. Shark.
God.
The shark, which someone I think said Beam, and maybe they said it in the episode, but I'm drawing a blank. The Angel Devil, Spider Fiend, and Violence. Violence. Who doesn't love? Yay, Violence. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what'd you think about the new cast of characters there, Brian?
Cool. I mean, like I said, we've seen glimpses of them in the opening, and I was curious about, you know, when we would see them. Yeah, really cool. You know, the only one that was just sort of dumb a little, the shark one, I'm just like, eh.
Yeah. Kind of reminded me of that Harry Potter, Victor Crumb, yeah. The magic he used. Yeah.
I was thinking of street sharks too.
Oh, God.
I was just like, all right.
Awesome.
But I was like, you know, you need at least one character that you're just sort of like, eh, they're there. Because you know? Everyone else is so cool. You know? You're
yeah.
Just
like, oh, but maybe like when we get to know him, it'll be a little different. I don't know. Because sometimes it's like, man, that's no. And then you get to know him, like, oh, my God, I love that guy. So I don't know.
Yo. Yo started out, first time you see Yo in Stone Wars, you're just like, that guy's a douche and I don't want anything to do with him. And then later on, you're like, okay, he can stay.
That's true.
In small doses.
That's true.
So, yeah, it was a good little fight scene. I like the moment with the Angel Devil and Aki, and he's like, I'm not afraid to come near you. If you don't touch me, it's fine. Here's this handkerchief. The Angel Devil first eating a piece of zombie, that was gross, but it makes me curious as to what his deal is. He can absorb life force, but like why is he shaped like an angel? You know, that's so weird. God, I could probably just read a Chainsaw Man encyclopedia and be happy. getting to Aki going off on his own, he's got that future devil in his eye, so he's able to see, I'm guessing, not super far into the future, but just enough to help out with his fights. He pulls a Sato and dodges bullets, mm-hmm. letting it go through his hair. That's a Licorice Recoil reference. Brian hasn't seen that one yet. Yeah, it's great. And then he gets to face the blonde haired chick, starts with an S, Sawa, something like that. Sorry guys. It was like shocking to see her have control over Ghost. You know, she tells the snake to spit it out, and it's just like, damn, like did you get even make a deal with it, or is it yours to control because of the snake? Like I all those questions go through my mind, but you don't even have time for all of that, because then you just get a really badass fight sequence between Ghost and Aki, which has got to be painful, and you can see that it's painful for him because it reminds him of Himeno.
Yeah, and because like you just said, everything's happening so fast. I noticed it, but I didn't say anything at the moment. Where she gets the nosebleed, mm-hmm. but then she's fine. So it's like I'm really looking forward to seeing, like, you know, what all of that is about and all that, because I didn't want to say it at the end. I wanted to save it for this. But yeah, I thought that was really cool.
What about you, Brian?
Yeah, same. Just the whole fight sequence and, you know, the sword slashing and, you know, glimpses of the future, I'm assuming is what's helping him get through. Yeah, this whole, it's interesting now that, I mean, we've known this for a few episodes now, just sort of opening the door that you can hold multiple double contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, some characters you think, oh, they're really cool because they can do this, this, and this, but they may have other things that they can do that you don't know. And, you know, her being okay after the nosebleed, I'm like, okay, what else has she got going on? So
yeah, she's pretty powerful.
Yeah. But yeah.
Cool. I'm just like, Makima, what the hell? What is that chick's freaking goal, man? Like, what is her motivation?
What else can she do?
Yeah, like I said, what is she willing to do? Because right now it seems like the answer is anything and everything, and that's pretty scary in a way. You know, when someone is that smart and actually uses it, I've said many times, there's people are lucky that the wrong people don't go mad. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're really lucky that most people aren't psychos, because all it takes is that one and a lot of bad stuff is going to happen for a long period of time. There is a conversation in the car between Aki and the cats from Kyoto, and it's about guns and of course the gun devil. There's obviously some commentary going in on firearms, and as Americans, of course, generally speaking, our mentality is very confusing to most people outside of the country. What are you thinking about the commentary so far on this, Brian? Have you been picking up on it as well?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And it's interesting. And like I said, I'm very curious to where it's going. I want to know more about the gun devil.
The
money thing I thought was interesting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The money thing. Exactly. Which is part of that. I took that as like a hit at lobbying and the NRA and stuff like that, and how people view the gun lobby and pro-gun organizations propping up certain aspects of gun rights that they disagree with. The line that the cat from Kyoto said, though, that kind of got me, was that you can't defeat guns. You can't defeat the gun devil. You're not going to beat it. And that is kind of like that American Jesus cat. I swear, if you ruin even this recording,
even going back,
go ahead.
I mean, for 100 years now,
mm-hmm.
guns have shaped the world. You know what I'm saying? All the, you know, wars and everything. So with even that thought process and saying, because it would almost be equivalent to a war devil. You know what I mean? And then so having it be the gun devil, and I'm curious if there is a war devil, that'd be cool. But mm-hmm. but yeah, I could see why it'd be so powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I could go into all sorts of both historical and contemporary arguments for against guns. What did, and this is again all from the American point of view, even though I know, like Brian mentioned, firearms history beyond even the United States itself. We could go into all of that. Many of you would probably end up hating me for one reason or another, and then the whole other side would hate me for the other reasons. The joys of independent thought. But I'm interested in how long does this arc go? What else are they gonna try to say on it? It is an impossible thing to defeat here in the U.S. relatively. You look at some of the worst things that have happened, and you can, like I said, you can take the numbers and be like, well, you know, mass shootings, anything with four or more gunshot victims is considered a mass shooting. The way they're portrayed in the media, it's always with rifles, and that's what people are thinking, active shooter situations. But the reality is, if one gunman goes off, two innocent people get shot, one cop gets shot, and the gunman gets shot, you've got a mass shooting, right? And that's more of like a shootout versus what most people are thinking, mass shootings. The point I'm making is that the narrative on guns are, it's different, and the media spins it and plays with it, and a lot of Americans will rationalize things by bringing up, well, the majority of you know, X violence happens with a Y weapon versus the others, and it's all nuanced. It's all very, very tedious, even sometimes, to have those discussions on both sides of the conversation. And so I'm always interested in what other people are thinking. Why are they thinking? How much do they understand of the American distrust of government? Because that's where most of it comes from, is just from our very founding. We're the state. Nope. You know, and that's the ultimate guard against the state. So I'm curious as to if they're going to go into those, you know, with Makima's comment on the state, on the government. Like, are they going to tackle that aspect of it? I know I'm kind of rambling. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I mean, you said some cool stuff, so.
I know Brian's not feeling super well, so we're going to let him decide whether or not he's got anything else to throw out there. Brian, do you? No. Okay, guys. Don't forget our live event that we're having on the 22nd. Oh, Christine, anything?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Our live event on the 22nd, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 Pacific time. Come join us. Have fun. I don't know how long we'll be on, as long as the conversation's good. As long as Brian is healthy and hopefully not dead or anything like that.
I'll be there, mean literally, sick or not. I
mean, you know.
I'll be there.
So yeah, check that out. Subscribe to the channel for anime content, for Star Wars, general geek and pop culture entertainment stuff. Daily Cog, Marvel Multiverse, Mayhem, The Cantina, Breaking Geek Radio, AVR, AVR Squared, Genre Shot, Trailer Reactions. It's a lot of stuff all on this one channel. If you guys do like audio podcasts, if it's not a reaction video, it gets put up on the Genreverse Podcast Network on all of the big popular apps like Spotify, Apple, Google's, Stitcher, others I'm forgetting. Sorry, it's been a long day. And then, of course, our parent website, lrmonline.com, every day for all other entertainment news, needs, opinions, written articles, reviews, celebrity interviews, and more. Brian has a YouTube channel as well. What is that, Brian?
Pulp Mythos. It's on YouTube. PulpMythos. It's one word. Check it out. Subscribe.
Yeah. There you guys go. All right. That's going to do it for us. We'll see you next time. Bye.